You know, I have to be honest with you. You know, I mean, some of you know when you leave and, you know, church and I'm shaking hands, especially before COVID, you know, people say, well, how you doing, Jim? And usually my response is, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. You know, I have two goals in life. Never grow up and never have a real job. You know, it's interesting because, I mean, I don't think I could ever be faulted of not working. But I, you know, having that real job, that structure where I'm, it just doesn't fit me. You know, I mean, I punch at a clock, never worked for me. You know, and growing up, maturity is really wonderful. But growing up, it's not all that's cracked up to be, I'm just telling you. I mean, you think about it. You know, I mean, when you grow up, sometimes you take on all the benefits of being an adult, but you, in a sense, all the joys of being a child. You get to where you take life way too seriously, and you get to even more where you take yourself way too seriously. And you tend to not take God as seriously. You almost separate yourself from God in a way that I don't think is what God created us to be. You see, I think God created us to be together and to be playful. I remember, you know, being back in seminary and reading a quote. The German theologian was Emil Brunner, and he was talking about Christmas action. He said, you know, when God the Father became Jesus Christ, it was like the Father got on his hands and knees to play with his children. Maybe that's the way I've lived my life. I don't know. But to tell you the truth, I hope if it isn't fully that way, I play it that way a little bit more. Because to tell you the truth, it's all an adventure. And the time seems to fly. I don't know about you, but you know, for me, it's been 18 years that I've been here. Just about this Sunday, 18 years ago, I came here. You know, it was the Sunday after I got here that we dedicated this building. I keep thinking this building's a new building. Yeah, I keep thinking that I just arrived. I keep thinking, well, I got plenty more time. And to be honest with you, I don't have a whole lot more time here. You know, I got to retire here soon. But it's amazing because, to me, when you live life in that adventure, when you live that life in the presence of God, even when you screw up, even when you don't do things right, when you know God's there with you and you know that God's forgiveness is abundant and you know that God is a generous God and there's an abundance from God, then scarcity never comes in and everything takes on a different look. Because it's all the Lord's. The life that you've been given is the Lord's life. You're just supposed to manage it. But I wonder how many of us take ourselves a little too seriously, and the things that we do a little too seriously, and try and control it instead of just managing it. You know, it's funny because the scripture that we have for today, all of them really spoke to me. But the Old Testament reading, I've always loved the Old Testament because, you know, the people in the Old Testament, man, they were raw, they were real. I mean, they're all messed up just like me. But they all loved the Lord, and the Lord loved all of them. And he never gave up on them. You know, last week, you know, Johnette preached, and she did a great job, and she preached, and part of her sermon was from the Old Testament reading then of when David, as a boy, was anointed as king of Israel. He got anointed as king of Israel. Do you know how old he was when he got anointed as king of Israel? For 10 points and a trip to the bombs. Anybody know? He was about 15 years old. Do you know when he got actually made the king of Israel? When he was 30 years old. There's a long time in between having that anointing as king and then becoming king. I mean, those are the formative. They're the wonder bread years. I mean, that's the formative time. And yet what the story that we have in there is probably someone where he's probably about 16, he might be 17, but it was soon after his anointment. The story goes like this. You just heard it read. And the story is that his brothers actually are out on the front lines. Israel is battling the Philistines. They always had fights. This was a major battle. Saul, the king, was there, and you know, and they had this one Philistine called Goliath, who was, you know what? He could have played for the NBA. He was 9 feet tall. He was 9 feet tall, and he taunted. The way they did it in those days was they had their champion, and we had our champion, and the champions went, whoever defeated whoever in the championship runoff, then the armies ran together. Well, Goliath had been taunting, you know, the armies of Israel for a long time. I mean, he even said things like, oh, you got a God? Where is he? He's sitting on the toilet? You know, I mean, he was getting a little rough there. Jesse, the father of David and also the father of seven other brothers who were all in the army, said to David, I want you to take basically bag lunches out to your brothers who are on the front lines. And that's how David shows up at this thing. He gets out and he's on the front lines and he's listening to Goliath and the Philistines taunt back and forth. And he's saying, which one are you going to go out? You know, I mean, there's a fight coming. Go out there and fight. And nobody's picking up the ball. So, I mean, well, what does David do? He's 16. He's 16 years old. 16 years old. And you know what? David says to Saul and to the people, I'll go out and get him. I'll go out and get him. Everybody looks at him, get out of here. You're a little kid. You're a little kid. Dead guy, I don't care. I can go do it. I can do it. I can go get him. All of a sudden, nobody's taking up the lead, and so Saul says, okay, we'll do it. Now, the first thing Saul does is try and make David, even though he's a boy, and no offense, David, maybe he's about my height, and, you know, Goliath's 9 feet tall, okay? Saul was a tall man, too. So Saul looks at David and he says, okay, well, I'm going to put you in my armor. So he puts him in this long suit of mail and he, you know, puts a helmet on his head and he puts a sword on his side. And basically, it says, I can't even walk, David says. I can't move around. I'm not using this stuff. So he goes back and says, I'm a shepherd boy. Now, Saul has an argument with him and says, well, you can't go out there. How can you do it? He says, hey, let me tell you something right now. I can do it. I've fought lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. I've done it all. I've fought them and, you know, I've protected my father's flocks at every turn. You know, and I'll smash their jaw if they do it. I'm 16 years old. Saul finally gives in, takes off the suit, sends out. Then we have a battle. At first, it says that Goliath comes out with a shield bearer. And David, he just walks out there with a staff, a sling, and he took 5 stones out of the wadi. Now, if you don't know what a wadi is a dry riverbed, okay? So he gets really good, smooth stones, the kind that make a damage on somebody. He puts them in his pouch. Comes out, they have a discourse. They call each other dogs. They say all kinds of things to him. They challenge each other. But then one thing that David says to him that I think is more telling than anything else. David says, this battle isn't us. This battle is the Lord's. 16 years old, but he's the wisest guy in the whole group of people. And it says that when he comes out and he sees him, he puts a rock in his sling, swings it around, hits Goliath right in the forehead. And Goliath doesn't take a mandatory 8 count. He takes the 10 count. He's dead. Now, why did that happen? How did that happen? It happened because there was a young man that everybody else saw as just a kid, an adolescent, but who had the Spirit of the Lord within him. And he knew that the battle was not his own, the battle was the Lord's, and he knew that God would be confident with him. You know, I hope I have this. But one thing I learned from this scripture is this. Adolescents see possibilities, adults see liabilities. You know, the older we get sometimes, all we see is liability. Oh my God, I'm like, my pension going to run out? Oh, Social Security, oh, it's not going up. Oh, my God. You know what is inflation? Gas prices, oh, my God. I mean, we go through the whole thing. I think about it. Get honest. I mean, we all get so worried about so many things. You know what? Most adolescents, oh, man, it's going to be a good day. You know, surf's up. It's going. Even if it's not up, I'm going. It's going to be a good day. You know, I believe with all my heart, with all my soul, that to tell you the truth, we are children of the Lord, each and every one of us. But some of us try and slide into that adulthood and think, it's all ours. Somehow I've got to keep all the parts running in here. It's real easy to get seduced into that. But that's where we actually lose our incredible unity with God. And that's where all of a sudden God really can't mold us and shape us, because we're too busy molding and shaping ourselves. You see, when we go on the adventure, all of a sudden the adventure takes life and puts it in a way that we know, well, it's our life, but it's not our life. I just have to manage it. I don't have to control it. I got to do the next right thing. The outcome is not on me. I got a plan of which direction I'm going. If I listen to the Lord, I got a good plan of which way I'm going. But I know that the Lord is going to push me towards that plan. And I know that I've got to do my work. I got to do the right things. But it's not all dependent upon that. Adolescents see the possibilities. Adults see the liabilities. And when all of a sudden all you see is liabilities, you don't want to get molded and shaped by the living God. Huh? Everything's good. Just leave it right where it is. Let's stay right where the status quo is. Because, you know, status quo, I'm coming. It's familiar. I like familiar. You know, familiar kills. It's comfortable, but you don't go anywhere. You know, Michelangelo, the great artist, was once asked, you know, how he created the statue of David. How did he create the statue of David? He looked at the person asking him and he said, well, I got this big piece of granite, basically. Then I chipped away all the stuff that wasn't David until David came out of the stone. The Lord is working in your life right now to mold and shape you. But you got to be on the adventure. You got to have faith. You know, life is filled with things that are out of your control. So why in the heck do we try and control everything that's out of our control when we know we can? The disciples did that in the boat. Oh my God, you know, the waves are going to overcome us. The winds are up. Jesus is asleep in the stern. Get up. I think they woke him up not for him to do what he did. I think they woke him up because they said, you better bail too. We have to be bailing right now. But he was woken up. And all of a sudden he looked at him and goes, why do you have so little faith? Be still, peace. You see, it's God who gives you peace in the midst of your life. It's not getting your life right that you get peace. And so often at times we work so much overtime to get our life in order. By God, we got to have it in order, because if it's out of order, I don't know what's going to go on. Oh my goodness, you know, gas prices went up again, you know. But it's the Lord that gets your life in order. You know, I don't have that much more time left. I really hope I stay on the adventure. I'll drive some of you really crazy. Because I'm going to die an adolescent. Because I always want to see the possibility. I want to see what's next. Let's take the risk. Let's throw the dice. Where can we go? What can we do that's bigger than us? Because then God really works through us. What can I take on, not just to get my little world in order, but rather to change the world so it's in the order that God wants it to be? How can I make a difference in everyday life? God's chipping away at you. Will he chip enough away so that you're not just a block of granite, similar to the way Saul tried to turn young David in by putting his armor on? Will you be who God created you to be? Yourself. Will you have a sense of joy? Will you have a sense of forgiveness? Will you take on all the things that are so difficult sometimes to forgive somebody that's really hurt you? But to forgive them so that you can move on, whether they do or not. Will you try and reconcile the people who may have made a mistake and want to come along for the ride? What will you do with your life? Remember when David met Goliath, he said very clearly, "This battle is the Lord's. Your life is the Lord's. Your life is the Lord's." Turn it over to him a little bit more than you have. And then in that process, hopefully he will transform you from a little bit less of what you are right now into a little bit more of what you ought to be. In the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.